Thank you so much, my brother, and I remind you again this morning that during the month of December, always I selected a theme about Christ Jesus and presented to you. This year I have taken the liberty of giving you portraits of the Lord Jesus Christ, like taking you to a gallery and show different pictures of Jesus. Our first picture came from the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah portrayed Christ as Christ the Messiah. Then I took you to another gallery, the gallery of John. And John presented to us Christ the Divine. Now today, I'm taking you to a book that I studied for a long time, the book of Revelation, or the apocalyptic book of the Bible. That is the correct word of the book. And this book will introduce Christ from another point of view. This book will give us Christ, the flavor of seeing Christ now glorified in heaven with honor and glory, executing his right to be. And so we hope that this will be a great picture for you, a picture of Christ. Within the insert of the bulletin is the one of the inserts of the bulletins is the church, the sermon outline for you to follow. And I will be calling to you the page number for those who are not familiar with where the books of the Bibles are. I give you the page number so that you look unto them. Move your Bible then to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 is the last book of the Bible. As you notice, the word, verse 1 is start with the words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The original word pronounces in this way, apocalyptic. Apocalyptic means reveal the unknown. And that's what the people have entitled Revelation when they translated the Bible into many different languages. Actually is the very unknown destiny and revelation of the end of the world is right here at hand, the apocalyptics. But the first part of the Revelation, book of Revelation, deals with Christ, especially chapter 1. And deals with the glory of this majestic King of Kings. And so let's see what portraits the Bible reveal to us. The first picture that I want you to see in this gallery, I entitle The Faithful Witness. And it's out of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. We read in Revelation 1 and in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. The faithful witness. Here is the picture. And when I read that, I asked myself, witness about what? The faithful witness. Now, a faithful witness has validity in court and has power on the argument of the case. And so we should know witness about what? Well, first, witness about God. If you are in Revelation, move your Bible to the left to the book of John. The Gospel of John, page 1173. Gospel of John in chapter 17, please. John chapter 17, and we're going to read verse 26. Witness about God. And he's prayer in John 17 and in verse 26, page 1173. And his prayer to the Father, the entire chapter is a prayer. Jesus said, and I have declared unto them thy name. I have keruzo. I have proclaimed. I have explained. I have given them, look at what? Thy name. And I will declare it that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. faithful witness about God. I have declared them thy name. In today's plurality of America neighborhood, people have many gods. An Arab person told me, well, we worship God too. A Hindu told me, we have our God. But Jesus is a faithful witness and have declared the God. You see that? See, I have declared, he prayed to the Father and he said, I have declared thy name. Who is God's name? Which, how do you call God? Well, you have to go to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, in chapter 3, page 67. In Exodus chapter 3, and with me, verse 13 and 14, the Bible tells us what is the name of God. And that's the name that Jesus have revealed to the disciples. And Moses, in verse 13, we read, said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now Moses is requesting the name of God, and he got the answer. Here it is, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am the I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. As many of you know, the Hebrew language doesn't have a present. Have a past, the action has been completed. Have a future, the action is incomplete. An easy language to learn. No present. A present, I am, is only for God. He is the only one who can be yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so, I am is equal to everlasting, forever. And that is the name of God. And that is the name that the disciples learn from Jesus. He's a faithful witness. Jesus did not say to the disciples, well, there is a God here and there is a God there. He said, there is only one God and the name of that God is I am. And as you know, in John 8:58, he said, Jesus said, I am. So he revealed himself. So a faithful witness about God and a faithful witness about his ministry. If you turn your Bible now to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 13, page 1295. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13, page 1295. You will see his witness. Paul writing said, I give thee charge to Timothy in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now the word good again in the original is not just a regular word, it's the word kalos, which means the only more attractive, unbelievable confession. The glorious confession. What was that confession? You need to move your Bible to the Gospel of John again in chapter 18 and in verse 35 and 36, page 1175. Gospel of John, now chapter 18. And look at Jesus' confession. Remember what Paul said. Let's give glory to this Savior because before Pontius Pilate, he gave a great remarkable confession. Here's the confession. Verse 36 in John 18. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not, excuse me, let me read verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Here's a judge asking Jesus, will you explain what you have done? Now Jesus answered, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jew. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Did you got it? He is saying, my kingdom is not of this world. And so Pilate, of course, he asked the question, are you a king then? And Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, hear my voice. And here's what this picture revealed. Jesus is telling Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Amazing enough, the disciples and the people that follow, in 900 years, they lost the flavor of the kingdom of God. The majestic churches of Germany, with the Gothic towers, they are not to glorify God. The architects, where they did that so that they can reach a little closer to God. And they want to have an impression on this world of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not concerning the political arena of the world. The kingdom of God has nothing to do with the financial situation of the world. Has to do with your soul and my soul. We are born sinners, said the Bible. And the kingdom of God is trying to get you out from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Simple like that. God, Jesus, who is the personhood of God, brought the link whereby you who are in the kingdom of Satan by birth, then you can make peace with God through him and pass to the kingdom of God. He's the bridge. He's the golden gate of the scripture that brings you from sin into salvation. That brings you from the desperate need of a savior to the fulfillment of a savior. That is the faithful witness. He told the truth to the disciples, your God should be I am. And he told the truth to the people, to Pilate. He said, my kingdom had nothing to do with the empire of Rome. My kingdom has nothing to do with the government of the United States of America, with communism. My kingdom is with every individual coming into the kingdom of God by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will see there is two kingdoms, Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. And the only one who can bring you from one place to the other is Christ Jesus. It's not your works. It's not what you can do. Had nothing to do with your profession. Had nothing to do with your race. Had nothing to do with your nation. Has all to do with a faithful witness who testify and say, listen, I do not come here to fight. I come here to save. We lost that flavor through the centuries, and I hope we get it again. We are not here to impose in this city anything. We are here to tell the city of Morgan Hill, the people on the radio and the people in the internet across the world, we are here to say Jesus Christ is a faithful witness when you have him, the Father, already approved. You need no further witness. The faithful witness. The second picture, the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you go to Revelation chapter 5, for many of you, maybe this is foreign to you, but I'm just going to give you a little background. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. When Revelation is going to portray Jesus again, he is going to use words that are not familiar to our vocabulary, neither to our knowledge, especially those who are from different countries. And Revelation 5:5 said, and one of the elders said unto me, to John, he's talking to John, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Remarkable. If Jesus is real, if this Jesus Christ, this Hebrew individual is real, is the real Messiah, is the real Savior, if he is for real, he need to come from Judah. That's what the Bible says. So let's check. You know, when you come to the United States, you can use two pieces of information for the officer. You can have your passport, or you can have your birth certificate. So I don't have Jesus' passport in the Bible, but I have his birth certificate. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and see if Jesus come from Judah. Matthew chapter 1 is on page 1037. And see if Jesus really come from Judah. And we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Here is a birth certificate of Jesus. He's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah. And if you read the whole thing, that's where Jesus come from, in that line. And so he is from the tribe of Judah because it's verified by his birth certificate. But also it's verified by the prophecy. I don't know if you're excited about the book of Genesis or not. I wrote two times about the book of Genesis. It took me long years because I'm a passionate lover of Genesis and Revelation. And Genesis 49, first book of the Bible, in Genesis 49, you will find there that Jacob is dying. And in his bed, Jacob prophesied. And remember, Jacob has 12 children. And he's going to tell his children what is going to be with them. And so look at Genesis 49, page 62, first book of the Bible, verses 9 and 10. This is Jacob speaking about Judah. Look at what he said. Now, remember, Judah was the one who saved his brother for being killed. Remember that? He said, no, let's not kill him. Let's take him out and sell it to some Ishmaelites. Remember that story? And so Judah protected his brother. And now look at what his father said. Verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stood down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion who shall rouse him up. Verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The kingdom shall not depart from Judah. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You remember when Israel was split in two? One section of Israel was called the Judah section. Judah is holding the scepter. In other words, here's what it is. The Bible said, through Judah will come one who will be king forever. And Jesus is from the lions. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He has the right to be the king. Now, the picture that I love most is in Revelation 17, the Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb. And again, it's figurative language. In Revelation chapter 17 and in verse 14, look at what the Bible says. This is the last book of the Bible, Revelation 17. And verse 14, page 1350. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. This is a future event in the life of the world. And God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives John the authority to write about Jesus. But now, John doesn't write the tribe of Judah or the king, he says the Lamb. To give us a picture on how Jesus conquered the Lamb. Now, the Lamb, if you're a Hebrew, you know what I'm talking about. The Lamb is recognized in the Old Testament. If you go to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, and you go to chapter 12, you will see here the recognition of the Lamb. Remember, this is the last plague, and this is the moment that Israel is captured by the Egyptians. The Egyptians do not want to free Israel, and they try all things that God has told them to do and fail. But this one will not fail. And what is the key to that liberation of Israel? The Lamb. Let me go with you over some verses. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, the symbol of liberation is coming, is a lamb. All right? Look with me in verse 6. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door and posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. In other words, they have something to do with the lamb. They have to take the blood and strike the post and the top level of the post so that the blood will be seen from outside. There is a reason. Verse 12. And I will pass through the land. This is God speaking. To the land of Egypt this night. And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. Here's the name. I am the Lord. Verse 13. And the blood, remember the instruction? You got the lamb, you got the blood. And the blood shall be to you for the token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land. And then look at what God said. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord through your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. That's where the Lord's Supper comes in. The Lord's Supper is not a sacrament, it's an ordinance. That's what the Bible says. Now here you have the lamb is recognized in the Old Testament. The lamb is a symbol again of liberation. The lamb and the blood now are the elements that are necessary for God to be satisfied. When we come to the New Testament, we see that that lamb and that blood is identified with the Lord Jesus. Go with me to the Gospel of John. 1148 is the page, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And here John is a cousin in the flesh of the Lord Jesus. He's 6 months older than him. They have not seen each other for a while. And now they see each other. And look how John greets Jesus. Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold my cousin. Now look at what he says. Behold the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. Now for any Gentile that's crazy. But not for a Jew. A Jew know what this man is talking about. Maybe it's a blasphemy to a Jew. But you know what he's talking about. Now, look at now the confirmation in 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 and in verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, page 1242 in the New Testament. 1242. Now, Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. And look at what he says. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Get rid of your sin. Don't be a fool. Don't live with one foot in the wall and one foot in the gospel. Get rid of your sin, that ye may be a new lamp, as ye are unleavened. Every Christian, remember in the Jewish economy, there is leavened bread and unleavened bread. Leavened bread is a picture of sin. Unleavened bread is a picture of no sin. And look at what he says. As ye are unleavened, every Christian is unleavened. For even Christ, what is it? Our Passover is sacrifice for us. Remember when we read in Exodus? We read about the wonders of Israel as they wait for the day of liberation. They had been mistreated. They had been put down. And they have been patient waiting upon God. And God did the liberation by a lamb and the blood. And we, people of today, we know some people go to psychiatrists and psychologists and try to get rid of their habits and problems rather than going to the one who really can give you the liberation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do the same job that the Lamb did in the Old Testament. Remarkable. Look to this. First Peter. And the Lamb is just, there is a book in the market that's called The Progressive Revelation of the Lamb. I tell you, a great book to have. First Peter chapter 1 verse 18. And that will be on page 13220. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Here's the Apostle Peter. We read what Jesus said. We read what John said. We read what Paul said. Now, let me explain what Peter really said. This is the Apostle Peter. Salvation is not on him. Salvation is not through him, through confession in him. Look at what he says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know... No, is the word ginosko, means you experience this. That ye were not redeemed, bought back to God with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You do not come to God and put together yourself with God by the means that you have, these traditions of mankind, these religions of mankind, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, revelation is brought into the picture. There is no way that we can put our life back to God unless we use the elements that God provides in the scripture for us to be united with God. And in this picture, the picture of the lamb, God gave us a remarkable tool for those who believe not to read the scripture, because the Bible said faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. You read the scripture and you will find out first that you are guilty, second that God has made a breach, and thirdly that that breach is the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb and the person. He is the lamb and he shed his blood, and that's the only thing that we need in order to arrive to heaven. You do not need religion. You do not need to be a member of a church. You need not to do anything but just ask God and mercy to give you the grace to believe that Jesus has done it. Now, this is the picture. I like it. If I was an artist, I would love to paint this picture. It's in Revelation 19. Verse 16, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Look at how beautiful. I know we're going to celebrate the baby Jesus, but I'm introducing you the picture of that baby grown up, sanctified and in heaven. Look at verse 16 in Revelation 19. And he had on his vestures and on his thigh a name written, Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. That's my motivation in life. It's not my success in my careers, my profession. It's not my success and what I can acquire in this world to live. My success is that I know the Kings of Kings and Lords of Lords. Jesus is ruler today. Let me show it to you. Revelation 1 in verse 5. Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him, you got that word? The prince. In Greek, when you got that word prince, you had sometimes translated one, is the word archo. He's the archiprince. That means he's the superior prince of this world. Really, Pastor? Yes. He just have elected President Obama to the presidency of the United States. Let me show it to you. Daniel chapter 2. Please go with me. Daniel chapter 2. 963 in your Bible. Daniel chapter 2. Page 963. I served the Lord in Nicaragua in 1982 with my wife under the Communist Revolution. And I worked within the hospitals and I worked preaching in the night. And one day we see all soldiers, first, second few, all soldiers with their gun. And their general in commander came to the pulpit and said, "What do you think about Commander Ortega?" And it was silent. There were more than 3,000 people in the church. Silent. And I read this scripture. I said, "I will not answer that, but God will answer." Oh yeah, we want to know what God said. See, these people have been lied by the Roman Catholic Church for a long time. And they trust nobody. And I told them, I had given President Ortega a Bible the day before. So I know they will be familiar. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Let me read verse 20. Remember this story? Some people have, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And nobody can reveal it. And Daniel revealed it. He said, "You are God." He said, "No, hold it." Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." And now look at verse 21. "And he changed the times and the seasons. He removes kings and set up kings." No one is elected in this world unless the Lord Jesus Christ approves. The entire world is in the hands of Jesus, and he is making that world come to an end. He's making that world do what the unbelievers love most, hate God. And Jesus led them that. You know, in the Middle East, the terror over Israel. I just talked to a friend who lives there, and he said, "We live constant worry about listening to the alarms of the bombs coming in." And see, this is all designed by God so that God can bring up to his kingdom, to his glory. Nothing has happened. Kings of kings. He rules over the earth, and then he rules the people. He rules you if you are a Christian. He rules Jesus' mother. You know, it's funny. The world has changed the Bible so much. Mary was her name, all right? Well, let's look to John chapter 2. Jesus' mother. Some people are afraid to look on it, but no, it's just fascinating. Look at Jesus' mother. He rules people. All the Christians. He rules the political arena of the world. And then he rules the believers. John Gospel chapter 2, page 1149, verse 1. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." The mother who had Jesus. "And both Jesus was called and his disciple to the marriage." Jesus was invited to the marriage. "And when they want wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine." What are you talking about? Now, in America, there are weddings and weddings. The standard wedding don't have all of these ceremonial, but in any other country, the wedding starts at 10 o'clock in the night and ends the next morning, maybe 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, people come to the wedding to eat. You don't have to have a wedding with no food. Like I told my father, I go to marry. He said, "I take care. Son, I take care." And the wedding started at 10 o'clock. At what time we went to the hotel? 2 o'clock, what, something like that. I said, "Daddy, I want to go. I've been 7 years a boyfriend. I want to go. I want to take my wife." He said, "Oh, wait. You have to be here. More food is coming. Daddy, I want to go." And say, "Your father controls you. Doesn't matter how old are you. He's the father of the house. And you don't say no to your daddy." All of this discipline helped me when I was in the Navy. And young people, these things are being loose. It's not in the Bible. And now here's what it is. Jesus' mother said, no wine. And so Jesus said unto her, they told Jesus, she must knew something about you. Don't you think if you have a baby without a man, you know that that's something special? And so she went to Jesus and said, you know, they don't have the Oporto Galilee wine to drink. And Jesus said, look at here in verse 4, woman, what have I to do with thee? In other words, you are not called to command me. The hour, said Jesus, the hour has not come. In other words, the hour for me to step as the Savior of the world have not come yet. And you have no authority over me. It's funny, the world called Mary, Virgin of Guadalupe, Virgin Mary, in my country, Virgin of Luján. Every country, they give a different name to this Virgin. This is Mary, that's her name, that's the mother of Jesus, a human being like you and me. But I like verse 5. Mary put herself under Jesus. Look at what she said. His mother said unto the servants, unto the waitress, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. I received a letter from the Bishop of San Francisco inviting me to go in prayer with the Virgin Mary. And they sent me statues and so on so that I can pray together. I just wrote in Greek. He knows very well Greek. I wrote in Greek a lot of things to him. Well, what about this? Mary put herself under the subjection of Jesus. Do what he said. And that's what we Christians do. We do what he says. Isn't that amazing? He rules your life. And if you want the best example, is Mary. Blessed Mother Mary is the top. She tell us, you do what he said. And if you're a Christian, you do what he says. And so what is the picture? The picture is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love Philippians, how Philippians, Paul read this and write this in Philippians in a remarkable way in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 8 and in verse 9. And being found, talking about Jesus in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Page 1279, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, now verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, have you bowed your knee before Jesus? That's the great question of the centuries. I did. I was 18 years old. I was a rebellious khaki soccer player who only liked fun in my own life. Grew up in the gospel. Grew up from 4 years old with a Bible reading of 2 hours with grandma. Oh, grandma, 2 hours reading the Bible. She didn't know what she did. Putting this book into my soul. When I was 12, I carried the Bible to a school because even though it was a Catholic Roman school, I carried the Bible in the school because this is the book I know. I've been reading the book. She died. She never saw me to know the Lord. But it was an American missionary who in a soccer game told me about God. And I bowed my knees in a locker room. I don't know where you bow your knees. And I don't know if you have done this, but listen, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you're going to bow your knees, there is only one person you should do it. To the one who said, I'm your Savior. I'm your Lamb. I'm the blood. I'm here. May this Christmas be a Christmas in which you celebrate it with meaning. Not just the baby, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful pictures of Revelation. And we can go on and on, page by page, and see the glory of Jesus. He's no longer the baby. He's no longer suffering and taking the beats of the people. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That He is still my Savior. To Him be glory forever. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Joyful and triumphant, come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. O come, adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation.
Going to have the benediction today. We changed the potluck timing because the 28th is close to the 31st, where we're going to have a dinner here at church in the New Year's Eve. And it's a wonderful time that we have a lot of intelligent games, table games, and we have about 11 o'clock we come to the chapel and we have the Lord's Supper and testimonies, and we wait for the Lord in that way. Also, in times before, when we came one Sunday before Christmas, you cannot walk in the kitchen. There was presents all over the place, presents for everybody, everybody giving presents to each other, and you cannot walk on it. And today was a pleasure to come in and know that we're still giving presents. But because on the construction of our new building here a few blocks from here, we already, Joby, have brought a great contractor on the pews, and we have our mind made with those curving pews and special pews. They push a button if you sleep and you jump and things like that. And so the offering will go for the pews, all right? And so we rather you figure out how much you spend and the gift, and then you put in the money in the envelopes, in a special envelope, and goes to the ladies' ministry, and the ladies will be careful to watch the treasure, not to spend the money on something else, all right? And that's a blessing, and I think it came from that beautiful lady, Camille Bound, who love us, and we love her. And it's so beautiful to know that we all thinking together and do this. Let us stand for the benediction. Please stay for our potluck dinner. Our Heavenly Father, it was a day in which you decided to come. Unknown to people. Unknown even to Joseph and Mary. But you came. Lord, thank you. The prophecy was fulfilled. Out of the Hebrew nation, out of the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah, we have the blessings of the Messiah, the Savior. And now, Father, we pray that we as Christians may reflect the character of Jesus in our life. That's a faithful testimony. And then also we pray that those who do not know Jesus will pick up a Bible and read it and find our Savior. Put your mercy for those who have to travel to different places for Christmas. Put the joy of the Lord in the heart of those who meet and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. And above all, put your umbrella of mercy and grace upon us all. In Jesus we pray. Amen.